From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In this, his final message in the Studies on the Law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the 10th commandment, Thou shalt not covet. In his opening comments, Dr. Cairns stated that more than all the others, this commandment reveals the true state of the human heart, for it brings to light our real motives. To covet is to desire. There are proper and legitimate desires, but this prohibition applies to longing after something which God has placed out of bounds, particularly that which belongs to someone else. As we'll see, that very kind of thinking is sin in God's sight. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional selection from C.H. Spurgeon's collection entitled Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Truth Established. The text is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth wears well. Time tests it, but it right well endures the trial. If then I have spoken the truth, and have for the present to suffer for it, I must be content to wait. If also I believe the truth of God and endeavor to declare it, I may meet with much opposition. But I need not fear, for ultimately the truth must prevail. What a poor thing is the temporary triumph of falsehood! A lying lip is but for a moment. It is a mere gourd, which comes up in a night and perishes in a night. And the greater its development, the more manifest its decay. On the other hand, how worthy of an immortal being is the avowal and defense of that truth which can never change, the everlasting gospel, which is established in the immutable truth of an unchanging God. An old proverb says, He that speaks truth shames the devil. Assuredly, he that speaks the truth of God will put to shame all the devils in hell and confound all the seed of the serpent which now hiss out their falsehoods. O my heart, take care that thou be in all things on the side of truth, both in small things and great, but specially on the side of him by whom grace and truth have come among men.
Soldiers fierce and play,
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
There is a great deal of the Pharisee in every one of us that will say, look, I don't do this, I don't do that, I do this and I do the other thing. Look at all these external marks of holiness. And with those external marks of holiness, we would enfold ourselves and cover a heart that's corrupt. God is saying in the 10th commandment, repeating the truth, that holiness is not merely external, but in truth, it is internal. And then I think that this 10th commandment is much more than a repetition. In other words, while it touches on what the 7th and the 8th commandments teach, it carries the teaching very, very much further. The word desire or covet may or may not lead to action. When you desire something, that desire may produce the fruit of action. But on the other hand, it may not. The 7th commandment and the 8th commandment condemn that evil desire that plans and produces the actual commission of sin. So God is saying in those commandments that the commission of sin is wrong, but the desire that plans the deed, the mind that works out the sin in advance of the action, is just as wicked as the deed. What the 10th commandment teaches is that even when the desire produces no action, even, and I will go further, because according to Matthew 5, sometimes the look of immorality does not produce the act, but it produces the fantasy of the act. And the 10th commandment is saying that even when the desire does not produce the act, when it does not even produce the fantasy of the act, yet in itself it is sin. In other words, the 10th commandment not only commands the binding, or condemns, should I say, the binding of lust, but the being of lust. It says you'll not lust, but it says the very existence of lust in the soul is sin. There's an old book that has been republished. It is one of the most telling works ever written. It has had a tremendously important impact on the development of Reformed theology, especially in Scotland and through Scotland, even in our day, to America. It was written, we think, by a man by the name of Edward Fisher, and it's called The Marrow of Modern Divinity. Really is a masterpiece. The Marrow of Modern Divinity. And when Fisher comes to the 10th commandment, this is what he says. Thou shalt not inwardly think on, nor long after, that which belongs to another, though it be without consent of will. By that he means, though you don't end up actually choosing what you've been thinking about. And though no purpose of heart, that is, that you don't make any real plan to seek after it. I think of that. God is saying, even when You don't plan to put this thought or this desire into operation. Even though you don't, as it were, incubate this thought and bring it to any actual decision of the will, yet its very existence in the mind and in the heart is sin. Now that's God's standard. This tenth commandment, as I said a little earlier, is in some ways the most far-reaching of all the commandments. Certainly in the second table of the law, it is the most far-reaching. For it sets the standard by which God Almighty judges the true state of our hearts and the true level of our obedience to His law. He is not impressed with mere outward forms, but He searches the true state of the will and of the mind. Now that is a devastating discovery for any man to make. When we discover that God says your act in breach of the Ten Commandments is sin, the thought, the plan, the desire that lies behind the act is sin. And the thought and the desire that never produce an act is still sin. We discover that, to use the words of Paul, we die. It kills our self-righteousness and it kills our pride. It makes us see just how really vile and wicked we are. That was Paul's experience. As a good Pharisee, Paul had thought of himself as a very righteous man. Like the one in the Savior's parable, he could walk into God's presence and say, "I thank you, Lord, that I am not as other men are. I am not like this publican, this sinner. I fast twice in the week. I give a tenth of all my possessions to God and to His work." He could add, "I read the Holy Scriptures. I memorize them. I study them. I spend time in praise and worship and prayer. I thank God that I am righteous." So much did Paul feel that, that he said, "according to the righteousness that was in the law." That means according to the strict observance of the standards of behavior that the Pharisees understood the law to demand. He says, "I was blameless." But then something happened to shatter the illusion. And he puts it in three pregnant words: the law came. The law came. By that he means that the law of God began to unfold before him in its spiritual fullness. The law of God made him understand God's real meaning. In Romans 7, verse 7, Paul said, "I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Now that is a verse of vital importance. in understanding Paul's argument in the book of Romans. The late Martin Lloyd-Jones said, I think quite accurately, that here Paul is stating two things. First, he's saying, I would not have known that lust was sin in and of itself if the law hadn't taught me so. And let me stop there and say, that is the mind of the flesh. That's the thinking even of Christians today. That the thought and the desire in itself, we just excuse them as being quite natural. They are not sin in and of themselves. And Paul is confessing, that's the way I thought. I didn't think that lust was sin in and of itself, as long as it didn't actually produce any action, until the law of God taught me differently. And the second thing that he's saying is, I would never have understood the meaning of lust and the part it plays in a man's life were it not that the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And Lloyd-Jones significantly adds, in other words, the law had not only brought Paul to see that to lust was to sin, but listen to this, it brought him to see the terrible power of lust in his own life. In other words, this 10th commandment stripped away the self-righteousness of the Pharisee Saul of Tarsus. This 10th commandment made him look beyond the surface. It made him get the mirror of God's holy word that doesn't show a man merely his face, but shows him his heart. Not as he would like to see it, but as God sees it. It made him, as he stood before the holiness of God and the purity of his law, it made him examine not only his actions, but his secret thoughts, his inmost feelings, the deepest desires of his being, and the motive springs of his heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and 9, the thought of foolishness is sin. We may translate that the lewd thought or the wicked thought. It's sin. The immoral thought. We must be honest that we are living in a society that bombards the mind to induce immoral thinking. This is a country whose engine runs on the gas of immorality. You can turn nowhere. There is not a part of this city that you can go to. There is not a shop that you can visit, but that somewhere along the line you will be bombarded with the inducements of the devil and of the world to immoral thinking.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.